So I said, tell you what, sir, you stay on the line. I'm going to give you the number of your local council, and the person that you need to speak to there is the environmental health officer. Oh, he said, environmental health officer. I don't think I want to take it that high. So it's without any false modesty that I said before you. I've got to tell you, the one Euro MP who doesn't have this problem, the one MEP who has instant name recognition wherever he speaks, is a colleague of mine from Luxembourg who glories in the name of Mr. Goebbels. I promise you, the first time that Mr. Goebbels rose to speak in the chamber, there was a British Labour MEP in the chair, whose name is David Martin. And when he saw Mr. Goebbels' name on the speaker list, you could see there was this moment of kind of pure Fawlty Towers. You could see him getting more and more agitated. And Mr. Goebbels' name was creeping higher and higher towards the top of the list, and David Martin was virtually muttering to himself, "Don't mention the war, don't mention the war." By the time it got to Mr. Goebbels' time to speak, he was in such a state, he said, "I now call Mr. Goering." No, I mean, Mr. Goebbels. But for the rest of us, it's lovely to be anywhere, and particularly at a conference like this, because I think this is the most timely thing that you've been discussing today. New technology has changed everything except politics. There's always been a rift between our dealings with the state and our dealings with everything else. Sure. But never has that been so wide as in recent years and as a direct consequence of technological change. If you're going on holiday, if you're buying a DVD, you expect to do it with a couple of clicks of the mouse. Compare that to the experience of applying for planning permission, applying for a driving license, let alone trying to get your child into a particular state school. So it's not particularly that the state is less efficient than it was, it's just that its inefficiency is so much more obvious when compared with how we deal with anything else. And political parties of all stripes have been very slow to grasp the magnitude and the rapidity of the revolution. They've all grasped that the internet is there, but they've all made the mistake of trying to fit it into their existing structures. They've all tried to treat it as just one more way to get their message across, particularly in the United Kingdom. I think they're a little bit better in the US. But here they have been very slow to grasp the interactive capacity, the ability of the web to be a resource for raising money, for mobilizing a campaign. The truth is that a political party in its current form is no longer, is not much longer for this world. The difference between a party and a campaigning organization and a think tank and a newspaper is being blurred.
Start a new one.
By technology. Well, do you know what you say, start a new one, but I'm not sure that the days when a leader could deliver people are still there. This has been the real shift in our generation. 20 or 30 years ago, most people had a degree of connection, affinity, loyalty to one party or another. And if their preferred party leader said, "This is where I stand on education or environment or whatever," a lot of people would say, "That's good enough." Those days are over. Now, a party leader, like anybody else, has to compel attention by virtue of having something interesting to say, rather than by virtue of being a party leader. Even a couple of years ago, there was basically a news monopoly. Half a dozen lobby correspondents would gather round, take their briefing from the shadow minister for widgets, it would be newsworthy because he was the shadow minister for widgets, and that would determine the news cycle of the next 24 hours. That is completely a different world, a different century, figuratively as well as literally. Now there is a profusion of different outlets, and anybody with something interesting to say can appeal over the heads of party bigwigs directly to the electorate. Obama was an example of this phenomenon. It's so easy after the event to assume that it was inevitable. That wasn't how it looked at the time. People were convinced that the Clintons had such a hold on Democratic Party structures that there was no way that an outsider could do it. But he had something that people wanted to hear, in the same way that had happened the last time with Howard Dean very closely. And indeed, the extremist example of this is Ron Paul, who is, you know, is no one's idea.